urge makes as relates to Thanksgiving. I believe for the believer, we got a lot to be thankful for. Try that one more time. As a believer, as we think back over our life and we look at how God has given and done so much for us and been so much for us, we ought to be thankful for all that God has done and been to us. Amen? And I just wondered if there are a few thankful people in the house today that are grateful to God for God being God. It's going to be a rough day today. Come on. Thank you. And more importantly, I pray that the Lord knows and can hear how thankful we really are. Amen. There's nothing worse than to have an ungrateful child. We inquired up in here. And I thank our Lord and Savior. I thank our Father in heaven. I think He deserves our gratitude. Amen. So we're going to practice being thankful for the next few weeks. Amen? So your thankfulness may be a little lower or a little light today. But we're going to get better as the weeks get on, right? Amen? Psalm 107, we're going to pick up at verse number 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. This is just part 1 of our series entitled Give Thanks. Amen. And it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Watch it, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I got two souls in the house. "Whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Psalm wonder. "In the desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man." Verse 9, "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's try that one more time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. God, we ask that You would speak to our hearts. God, we're not here to hear a good sermon. We're not here to hear a good preaching. God, we're not here for any other reason but to hear from You, Lord. Father, speak to us. But then also, God, as we hear Your voice, as we hear Your instructions, may we be responsive. May we be obedient, God, to what You have to say to us, Your children. God, as we are now in this season of Thanksgiving, God, we are not just going to be thankful for one time of the year. God, we're going to be thankful all year long, God, because You have been God and You have been good to us, Lord, all year long. Not just in the month of November, not just on the Thursday for Thanksgiving. God, You have been good to us, God, all year long. And God, we are here to simply give thanks to You, Lord, because You have done so much. God, we love You. God, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may have never heard of this group called the Mississippi Mass Choir. Some of you have never heard a song sang by the Mississippi Mass Choir. Some of you all are pulling out your phones right now, Googling the Mississippi Mass Choir. They've had a number of hits that were inspirational to the body of Christ. There was one song that I heard growing up that didn't mean a whole lot then, but as I grew older and grew wiser, I understood what they were singing about. It was a song entitled Your Grace and Mercy.
Yes.
I'm gonna read just a few of the verses. I want you to hear the lyrics of this song. And I'm not gonna sing it, whoever said that, don't. No. I've been singing it the whole way to church. But we're not gonna torture you today, amen. And it simply says, verse one, he says, Your grace and mercy brought me through.
Yeah.
I'm living this moment because of you.
Yeah.
I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Okay, that didn't get you yet. Okay, let's keep going. Verse two says, thank you for saving a sinner like me. To tell the world that salvation is free.
Hallelujah.
There were times when I just could not do right. But you washed over me all day and all night. Okay, that's still didn't get you. Okay, let's try verse 3 then. He says, justice demanded that I should die. Oh God. But grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no. Oh no, we have paid the price.
All right.
You see, I once was blind, but thank God I can see. It was because grace and mercy came along and rescued me.
Yes,
and I just wonder if there's like one or two people in here that can say, I'm so grateful.
Hallelujah.
For God's grace and mercy coming alongside me and rescuing me when I couldn't save myself. I could not get myself out of certain circumstances. Grace and mercy showed up and brought me. I'm so glad that grace and mercy did not wait for my permission, did not wait for my request, but it just showed up in my life when I didn't know any better. Grace and mercy found me and rescued me. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm so glad that his grace and mercy rescued me. And see, for a guy who loves comic books, the whole idea of rescue, it resonates in my soul.
Yes.
I imagine a Superman swooping down low to somebody who could not get themselves up, and then he lifts them up. But our God is greater.
God is great.
He is mightier than that.
Yes.
And so our walk with God is not just a cognitive thing. It's not something we just think about and meditate on. When we think about our experience with God, this is very much an experience with God. So therefore, when I think about his grace and mercy in vain in my life, I don't just think about it, but it causes something to happen within me. I begin to emote. I begin to express my gratitude because I think about God's grace and his mercy. And I just can't sit still and say, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. But it does something from the inside because I know how far God had to come and get me. And therefore, it's not just a cognitive experience, but it's very much experiential. So when we look at Psalms 107, it's really the last component of a trilogy of thanksgiving. Going back to Psalm 105, you can go back and read this later. In Psalm 105, what the psalmist begins to do, he begins to recount how God had been with their patriarch Abraham and those who succeeded him. He began to talk about how God brought them to and through Egypt. He talked about how God had brought them to the promised land and experienced the blessing thereof. He says, I look back on my ancestry and I can see God's hand on my history. I see God's hand over my history. But then Psalm 106, he picks up with the sequel. The psalmist begins to recount how God was with them even in their disobedience. I thought I'd have an amen right there. That God was with them even in their time of disobedience. He says, when they had gotten to the Red Sea, God did not rebuke them, he rebuked the sea. Now that's powerful. They're the ones in disobedience. They're the ones who are in need of rebuking. But God says, I'll rebuke the circumstances around you. Because I'm trying to get you somewhere. God is faithful. But then, y'all think we're just talking about the children of Israel. But as we look back over our life, not only has God been good to the Israelites in their history, God has been good to us in our history. There are some things that God protected us from, even ourselves, throughout our history. But watch this, even in our disobedience, oh gosh, God did not kick us to the curb. Oh, okay, y'all let me by myself. God did not abandon us when we deserve being abandoned. God says, I will stick with you. I will be with you at all times. So let's look back over this trilogy. Psalm 105, your history gives a reason to give thanks to God. Psalm 106, your misery gives reason to praise God. So think of it like this, in my mess, God was good. I'll say that one more time. And when I was messing up, when I was missing the mark, when I was off my game, God favored me. Then when you get to 107, he says, your blessings give reason to bless God. Okay, somebody, y'all must not be blessed. Okay, I got one amen. Oh, let me see. Is there anybody glad that God has blessed you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's wait for a second. Because we just talked about how God had kept you through the history. He has sustained you in your misery. And now he has blessed you. Okay, I'll try that one more time. I look back on my life. He has sustained me through my history.
Come on now.
Now in my mess ups, God has sustained me.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a season where God is blessing me.
Man.
Okay.
Yes.
So there is no reason that I can think of that we ought not give God thanks. Because when I look at my history, when I look at the misery he's brought me through, and now right now God is blessing me in spite of all of these things, I owe God a thanksgiving. Because every day God has blessed me through history, through misery, and even right now, God is keeping me. And I'm so glad he didn't just start with Steve. He's doing the same.
God's goodness.
And so what the psalmist does, he begins to lay out just some things that we ought to think about when we want to give thanks to the Lord. Can we talk about it real quick? So let's look back at verses 1 and 2. He gives us our first reason to give thanks. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Watch this, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. And we're just going to read the 8th portion of verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So this is what he says. He's given us a clue. He says we give thanks because of the communal expectation. The community has set an expectation to give thanks. Look what he says. That there is a proper time. There's a right time for the community to celebrate God. Y'all heard it right already, y'all in my notes. All the time is a right time and a proper time. See, I got a witness right there. Every time we think about the goodness of the Lord, it ought to prompt us to say, God, thank you. I woke up this morning, God, thank you. I was able to put my, God, thank you. I was able to drive my car to the service, God, thank you. When I think about all the things you have done for me, God, thank you for blessing me. But it's not just an abstract thank you. He says, I want you to direct this thank you. He says, I want you to thank the Lord. Okay, all right, let's try that one more time. He said, I want you to just thank you. No, let's be very specific. Let's thank the Lord. Because it was he who is good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Come on now.
In so many words, the psalmist is suggesting that God is not just good to us, but he's good for us.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try that one more time.
Yeah.
Not only is God good to us and good for us, he's good around us.
Come on now.
Not only is God good around us, but he's also good in us. There is no reason.
No reason.
For us to doubt God's goodness.
None.
He is suggesting that there is no reason for us to doubt God's goodness. And he says, and here's how you know God is good. Watch it. He says, because his mercies endures forever. Okay. So he says, I don't want you to just think of just God being good, but think about how he's expressed that goodness in that his mercy endures forever. Okay. Y'all not catching me? Okay. What he's suggesting is mercy is the things being withheld that was due unto us. God holds certain things back. Okay, so think about it. You know, I grew up in a household where we didn't believe in time out. Okay? They believe in the laying on. Okay, y'all been there before. Y'all been in my house. Okay? And there were times I was running around trying to escape the hands, the switches. Y'all don't know nothing about switches, do y'all? Okay. And I tried to do my best Walter Payton move. And I would say, Mama, please. And in so many words, she would look back at me. She wouldn't say this, but she would give me the look like, mercy is not here today. In other words, she said, Stephen, you messed up. And you deserve what's about to happen to you.
Yeah.
You're about to get this punishment. I don't care how much you beg and plead to have mercy. Mercy is not here today. Okay? God is a good God. He's a good Father. He looks down at us and he says, I know you messed up. I know you deserve to be punishment. You know it and I know it. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to withhold
your blessing.
Watch this. But he says this withholding is not just for a moment, but it's for eternity. Okay, watch what he says. He says, for your mercy endures forever. Okay? I'm going to give you a quote by Charles Spurgeon. I love what he says. He says, the word endures has properly supplied by the translators, but yet it somewhat restricts this sense, which will be better seen if we read it like this. For his mercy forever. The mercy had no beginning and it shall never know an end. What Charles is suggesting, he says that mercy doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. It's eternal. So that means that when you walk out of here right now, and you step on my toes with malicious intent, mercy exists to preserve us from ourselves. Okay, y'all, okay, let's try this one more time. In other words, he says, you cannot outrun mercy. He says, just as God is eternal, watch it, his mercy is eternal. Okay, so okay, well, I get that. Okay, you're eternal, mercy is eternal, got it. But then God took me to Lamentations chapter 3. And he says, his mercies are new every morning. Okay, now wait a minute. If mercy doesn't begin and it doesn't end, how is it new every morning? I said, okay. God says, Stephen, look at it like this. You haven't seen the next day. You see, Steve, you look linear. You look straight ahead. I see the whole thing. And when I see the whole thing, mercy already has the whole thing covered. So before your day even starts, mercy is already enacted. Oh my gosh. So when you wake up to new mercies because you hadn't seen these mercies yet.
Yeah.
God says, I already have mercy in existence
So you need to encounter new mercies every day, because I'm dishing out mercy every day. Okay. Let's look at it like this. He says you can't get around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go through it. He says you just need to abide in it. And I'm so glad that God allows me to abide in his mercy that never ends. And watch what he says. He says, so since this is true, he extends an invitation to the redeemed. He says, if you really understand this is mercy endures forever, here's what you need to do in response to that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
All right.
This is not an appeal to everybody. Only to the redeemed. I'll try that one more time. This invitation doesn't go out to everybody. It's only to the redeemed of the Lord. They have a responsibility to say that it was God who redeemed me from myself.
Yeah.
It is God who redeemed me from disaster.
Yeah.
It was God who brought me out.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Notice what he does not say. He does not say, let the redeemer of the Lord think so. He doesn't say, let the redeemer of the Lord look so. He says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. That means we must open our mouths to testify of God's mercy that endures forever. And the same mercy is available to any of us. Well, watch what he says. Let's pick up the latter portion of verse 2. He says, whom he has redeemed from trouble. If you hadn't closed your Bibles. Whom God has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty.
Yes.
Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Look what I love, verse 7. He led them. This is God. God led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. In other words, he's suggesting in times of trouble, God redeems. In the Bible, this idea of redemption is what they call the law of kinship. It's to suggest, who are you for a second, brother? Jerome, I'm sorry for a second. It's the idea of kinship. So, in the event something happens, and this is my brother Jesus, okay? I die. So say, aw. We don't want the pastor to die. Man, come on, y'all. Don't seem kind of weird about that, okay? Jesus. We just pretended, yes. I need a little more empathy there. Okay. All right. Pastor dies.
Aww.
Feel love. Okay. But the pastor also has a wife and children. And think this is ancient days. Ancient days. Everything that they need is bound up in who I am. The property, the finances, everything. If I die, they have no. If my son's not there, if he dies too. Oh, Jesus, my son and I both died. There's no male in that immediate household. He has no, my wife and my daughter have no access. Co-things. Have no access to the bank accounts. No access to the property. It's being held, okay? What they need is what they would call a kinsman redeemer. Somebody who's in the family who's willing to take them and say, hey, I got you. Okay? So he has to step in. They don't go look for him. Oh, gosh. But the Redeemer has to show up and redeem everything that was lost. That means their property, their finances, everything is now released because the Redeemer has shown up. So when we talk about a redeemer, we're talking about a God who redeems not just a person, but everything concerning us, the redeemer can restore. Thank you, sir. So he says, watch this. If you're in trouble, God redeems all things. He says, now if you're scattered to far places, what God is able to do, he's able to gather you back. Oh God, thank you for that.
Gather you back.
He says, to those who experience lack and no place to lay their head, God is Jehovah Jireh. God is provider. He says, there were times you were hungry and thirsty, God gave them their daily portion. I like what Dr. Marcus Cosby says. He says, they ain't had nothing, but they not lacking for nothing. Y'all miss that? He's describing people that ain't had nothing, but at the same time, they're not lacking for nothing. I don't know, that just resonated in my spirit, because I can testify there were times I ain't had nothing, but at the same time, I wasn't lacking for nothing. Bank account was in the negative, but I still wasn't lacking anything.
Come on now.
Couldn't go, when I went to my covers were bare. Woo! But I still was able to eat. What I'm saying is that God goes out to provide for his children every time. Because God is faithful.
Yeah.
He says, so don't worry about lacking anything. God got you. I'm so glad. Woo. I'm so glad that the Lord knows how to provide for his children. That's why we sing that he's a good father. All right, so watch what happens. So he tells them that God's able to do all these things. Praise God. God's able to redeem. He's able to restore. He's able to gather. He's able to provide. He's able to do all those things. But notice what he says in verse 6. He says, now they experienced all of this. And as they were experiencing all this, the Bible says that they cried out. In the Hebrew, it literally means that they screamed at the top of their lungs. They were experiencing distress and trouble on every side. They didn't turn, they didn't call Dr. Phil, they didn't go to Oprah, they didn't go to the local priest. No. They found themselves in a situation that was beyond human help. And they realized, we need to cry out to the Lord. I mean, they said, okay, not just, when we think of cry, we think of like, help, Lord. Help.
I'm
going to take it up a little bit. Help.
A little bit more.
But this is a cry that's from the depths of a person's soul. When you realize that you're stuck between a proverbial rock and hard place, that there is no escaping this distress and trouble, that you realize that no one can do anything about this except the Lord. And when you come to that realization, you realize I need to make sure the Lord hear me. Help, Lord!
All right now.
I remember there was a time when my daughter was maybe two. Precious little thing. I don't know what happened. She's still precious. She's still precious. It's two instances. There was times where she was among other kids, and she called her daddy. And it's among other little kids. They all got the same kind of voice. But because I know my daughter's voice, when she calls her daddy, I move because I know her voice. But there was this one instance where she fell, and she hit this little concrete floor off a little 2 feet tall chair and went like head first. This hollow was a different kind of hollow. There was no hesitation on my, I kicked over tables, chairs. I was getting to my daughter at any cost. Scooped up in my arms, didn't talk to anybody. Run on out to the car, hop in the car, forgot my wife and said, hold on, baby, wait, come on, baby, let's go. I also forgot my wife and my other child. Y'all come on. But it was with that sense of urgency that when that cry was lifted up, that it moved me, that all I could think about was doing something to resolve the pain and the hurt in my daughter's life. And God is no less than that. That when we find ourselves in these difficult situations, and we cry out to God, God will move heaven and earth to get to us, to restore us, to revive us, to provide for us. All we have to do is cry out to Him.
But I know what the problem is. I don't need no help from nobody. I never needed any help. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm a self-made man. I don't know how to cry for nothing. How can you even imply that I open my mouth to ask anybody for help? Pride. Mess around and not call out to the Lord when you really need Him. The Lord will say, okay. Let whatever happens, happens. I'm so glad that God has given me a vehicle that I can call out to Him at any time. Watch this. At any time. Oh gosh. Like some of y'all are mindful not to call me at certain times of the hour. And praise God for you. In a desperate situation, you think about calling, you say, no, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I just better not do it. I'll text Him. Thank you for that. But God is not like that. There's never a bad time. There's never a bad time. There's never a bad time to call on the Lord. Now, I will say this. Be mindful where you are when you do it. Try not to do that in an elevator, okay? You might scare somebody. Okay, yeah, some of y'all catch that lady. Hell no! That's it. Okay, that's it. They can stand in the corner. Just what floor you get off on? So listen. Let's be mindful. Amen. Oh gosh. But then also notice this. When you pick up at verses 8 and 9, we also give thanks because of a congregational invitation. Watch what happens. In verse 8, he says, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man.
Children of man.
I want you to pay attention to that phrase. To the children of man.
Yes.
For He satisfies the longing soul.
No, we don't.
Watch it. And the hungry soul He fills with good things.
Good things.
Yeah. Okay? I want you to hear it from the King James Version. I just love verse 8 in the King James.
Go ahead.
He says, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So what is He doing? He's inviting us to a praise party. Okay?
Yeah.
He is not saying, I just need to praise the Lord with the mouth. In the Hebrew, it's the word yada. It's the using of the hands.
Yeah.
To praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all know how to lift up holy. Okay, let's try it like this. Back in the day, they used to do this thing, Mark, I don't know if you remember this. It was called a house party.
Oh, Lord.
Some of y'all got too saved, y'all forgot what a house party was. I suggest you rent house party 1, 2. But you knew you was at a good house party when a DJ will get on the mic. He said, now throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. And if you love fish and grits and all that, then maybe you shout, oh yeah. And then you say,
oh yeah.
Some of y'all act like y'all ain't been to a house party. No. Because they knew that when the hands were up, the party was good. When the hands were down, the party was down. When the hands were up, party was up. And what the writer is suggesting is that when you think about the goodness of the Lord, yes, you say so, but then also it's an outward expression to say, God, thank you. Even if I'm unable to open my mouth to say something, at least I can do is wave my hands in the air because you care for me. He says, I need you to thank and to praise God, not just with your lips, but also with your hands.
you for all that you have done for me. So he's inviting them to this praise party. But I want you to notice this. He's inviting them to this praise party for the blessings. Remember, it's for the blessings. But it's not just about the individual blessing. Oh my gosh. Because notice what he says. For the blessings to the children of men. He is suggesting that God has not only blessed you individually, but God has blessed other people too.
Yes.
And in this party, you can't just praise God for just what he has done in your life. He said, in this praise party, you should thank God for what he's doing in the life of your neighbor.
All right.
Okay, y'all, y'all want to thank God for what he's doing for your neighbor? I guess that's what we're doing today. We're doing the golf clap. But I'm just a believer that as God has blessed me, I'm expecting God to bless other people too.
Amen. Yes.
Miles, and watch this. And I'm not just going to bless God for him blessing me. I'm going to bless God for how he's blessing my neighbor too.
Hallelujah.
Because there may be a season where, watch this, David, I may be struggling.
Woo.
But as I start rejoicing at what God's doing in David's life, I say, hey, he did that for me. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Let's rejoice, because guess what? The same God that did it for you, he'll do it for me. It's my season to rejoice with you, but there'll be a season you're going to rejoice with me. And I'm not going to be selfish and only think about my blessings and not think about how God's blessing you. So in this praise part, we praise God for everything, for everybody, because God has been faithful to all men. But he even explains what kind of blessing it is. I hope you ain't close your Bible.
All right.
In verse 9, he says, this is how the kind of blessing that God dishes out.
Yeah.
It's not just a temporal satisfaction. Notice what he says. God satisfies and fills the soul. Okay. Apparently, this psalmist realized, okay, there was a season in my life I was trying this, and I was trying that. Trying everything, because there was this emptiness on the inside of me. I tried to fill it with all these other things, thinking that this is going to satisfy me, whether it's a relationship or whatever it is, I want to try it. And I find myself having to keep trying it. And keep trying it. And keep trying it. And I keep finding myself less satisfied the more I take it. Oh, gosh. And he says, watch this. He says, but it's God who ultimately satisfies and fills your soul. So that emptiness that you're feeling in life, he says, if you try the Lord will satisfy you like nothing else on this planet can. So you got to try Jesus. Okay, I got two amens on that. And he says, everything else is going to fail you. I promise you. Everything else is going to fail you. The Lord will. He said, I need you to try him. For yourself. Don't just look at somebody else's testimony and what God's done for you. No. You need the Lord to satisfy some places in your life. And not only is God able, God is willing. God is willing to satisfy your soul. But you got to try. I remember growing up, I asked the Lord, okay, if I only had this, life would be all right. The Lord gave me some of those things. And I still found out that I wanted something else. I said, okay, Lord, I want to be able to go to college. The Lord says, okay, I'm giving you an opportunity. But I got to work. God gave me a job. God gave me a promotion. Everything I could even ask for, God says, okay, I'll give it to you. You need a car?
Okay.
Yeah, boom. This is at 19, trying to figure out life. God just blessed me.
Yeah, that's
right. Over and over and over.
And Diane, I found out that all those things will fade away.
Yeah.
My brother told her my car. I still get mad about that every time I talk to him. The apartment got too small. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The job let you go.
Yeah.
No warning.
Yeah.
And that Father says, still wanting.
Yeah.
Then one day.
One day.
I looked up. And I'll never forget this day. It was December 2003. And I was doing the best I could. And I found myself not satisfied. Reason, I remember talking to the Lord. I remember I prayed and it felt so empty. It felt so empty.
Go ahead, preach. Talk about it.
And I remember repenting.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Because God started showing, Steve, you put trust in all these other things.
Yes, Lord.
And you forgot who provided for you.
Yes.
You forgot who did or who opened those doors for you anyway. Because, Steve, I want you to know that when I open doors, no man can close it anyway. But then at the same time, I will open doors and no man can close. But you have to understand this principle, Steve, that sometimes I have to close doors in order to open new doors.
Hallelujah.
And I'm sitting here sobbing and complaining and whining. And God is saying, do you trust me or do you trust yourself? And I'm just sure I'm not the only person that's been there. That said, I'll trust myself. I bet on myself more than I bet on the Lord. He'll bring you to humility. God says, okay, they ain't figured it out yet. So let me break it down so they know I'm the one who satisfies. It's easy to look at the lack in your life. It's easy to look at how things are scattered in your life. Matter of fact, those things speak louder than God. But God is saying today, I want you to look to me to satisfy your soul. Whatever it is that you're missing, you think you need, God says, I'm it. But you gotta trust me. Would you bow with me for a moment? This is an invitation to just give thanks for all that the Lord has done. The psalmist sums it up best. That God has redeemed us from destruction, from disaster, from devastation. God has redeemed us for his purposes. And maybe you're in a place in your life that you haven't given God thanks for being that redeemer and sustainer in your life. And I invite you just to say, that when we thought we knew better, when we thought we had life figured out, when we thought that we knew what would satisfy us, God exposed that whatever we try won't satisfy. Just thank God that his mercy endures forever. Mercy endures forever. And when we make missteps and mistakes, God's grace was greater. His mercy is more than the mess we create in our life. God's mercy is greater than any mess you may create for yourself. Just thank God for that kind of mercy. God, we thank you for mercy. It is that mercy that has sustained us and kept us. And God, we are grateful for that. Lord, we commit to saying so because it is you, Lord, who has redeemed us. It is you, Lord, who satisfy us. And Father, I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice with my brothers and sisters that as your hands have been over their life throughout their history and through their times of difficulty,
God, rejoice that you have preserved them, protected them, provided for them, purposed them. And God, you've even prospered some of us. And God, we thank you for being so merciful. God, as your word says, it's because of your mercy that we are not consumed. God, we are not destroyed because your mercy stepped in, protected us. God, thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, I pray today for the person who's here. I say, if they hear this mercy, but they had tried it. They had tried you for themselves. They still are pursuing other things to have satisfaction. But Lord, you sent them here to hear the message of hope that is found in you.
Okay.
That you are the one who gives mercy. And it is forever. So Father, they're here today. And they're in need of mercy. They're in need of you being present in their life to satisfy them and to fill them. God, would you speak to their hearts right now? God, give them ears to hear you. God, let them know, God, how much you love them. And God, your word declares, God, nothing can separate them from that kind of love. Father, we thank you for them being here and hearing you. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm here. I'm in need of trusting Christ for the very first time. I've tried everything else. I haven't tried Jesus. But I need you today to find satisfaction for my soul, to find filling for my soul. If you're here, would you just raise your hand right where you are? You say, Pastor, I need that kind of Jesus in my life. One that satisfies and fills my empty soul. Amen. Maybe here today you say, Pastor, I've tried mercy, but then I've also tried some other things to complement mercy. I've tried things. I've been trusting you and thought that I can have something that would be complementary to you. I find myself drifting further and further away from you, Lord. I find myself further away from you than I ever thought possible. But today, Lord, I want to get it right with you. To find satisfaction. I don't need anything to be complimentary to you. You are more than enough. Would you trust the Lord that he is more than enough for you? If you hear you say, Pastor, I want to trust the Lord more. Not trust anything else, but trust the Lord more. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Thank you. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, we can all stand in the way of trusting the Lord a little bit more.
Yes.
The temptation is always to trust what we can see, touch, and feel.
Yes.
That's always a temptation.
Yes.
But God wants you to trust him completely. Therefore, you don't have to look for anything else to satisfy you. And then when God does bless you, it just adds to your life. You don't look for that blessing to satisfy your life. God is the one who blesses and satisfies. Then lastly, you say, Pastor, in the church home, to be in a place where it's not about the Sunday morning experience, but it's about the relationships that we build with one another, that we develop with one another, the friendships that we forge, the prayer groups we have. And you say, hey, I'm in need of that. I don't want to live this life. God did not create us to live alone. God created us for community, for each other. Maybe like we just read, people who are wandering, searching for somewhere to belong. But notice it was God who directed them to the right place. God would direct you to the right place. He said, Pastor, I'm in need of that right place
right now. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are? You say, Pastor, I need a church home for me, for my family, for my friend, whoever. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the one, for being the one who satisfies us. God, as you lead us and directs us to the right place. Father, maybe someone here today, God, who says, hey, I wanted to raise my hand, but I didn't feel comfortable. Or didn't feel like it's the right time. Father, I thank you for your mercy. So that even if they leave from this place, God, they can still make a commitment to you. God, they don't have to do that on a Sunday morning. They can do it from the comfort of their own couch. But I pray that if they make that decision, Lord, I pray that they will connect themselves to a church family that will teach them the word, that will hold them accountable. And God, we thank you for them hearing your voice today. Give God a hand clap of praise.